Good morning, everybody. Welcome into NBB Media Sports Channel's Early Bird Fantasy Edition with Couch and Andrea. Good morning, everybody. It is Friday morning. Andrea says she will be here, so I plan ahead and started the show without her. We should hear from her soon. Good morning. This is Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, coming to you live here on a Friday morning on our regular scheduled day. So we will probably hear from Andrea because she was already up and going this morning, and so we should get with her soon. Folks, we've got a lot of, as she's letting, yes, I am now. So, she gave up on me, but I just came 5 minutes before it was time because I was writing an article. So she'll be right in, hopefully here real soon, and we'll be talking about it. But until she does get in here, we can talk a little bit about the NBA. Of course, the finals going on right now, and the Heat get a big win last night, and they tied the series while in OKC, winning 100-96. One thing that everybody wrote off the Heat after that game 106-94 just the other night on Sunday, but now they are right there. They're hanging in there. They are all set and ready to go. And they are playing like they're ready to win a championship. And that's one of the things that is, you know, anybody that maybe, you know, counted them out after game number one probably was a mistake. It was a mistake. You can't just take what you're seeing one time out on the basketball court and say, that's what you're going to get. Because the Heat don't play that way. The Heat, I mean, I still think OKC wins the series. I really do. Although the Heat are the ones that are now in the advantage as they go back and they are going to be playing three games, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm not forgetting how it's done, there's going to be three games right there in Miami. So it was a big, big win for Miami, and they take the home court advantage, which is, you know, I think is really overrated, especially in basketball, because you get one on the road, you know, that's good, but in the finals, you're always going to be giving up some. So I'm not a great big fan of saying the home court advantage is an advantage to any given team. I'm not willing to go that far. So while I'm not willing to go that far, I'm still liking what I see out of OKC. They did hang on and almost won that game last night. So you can't be shocked when you see what's going on in those games. You can't be shocked because of the way that the Oklahoma City Thunder have been playing all season long. Let's go ahead and bring in our fine co-host. Good morning, Andrea.
You feel free to just talk some more of that football that you love so much while I put myself together.
Oh, I will do so. I'll leave you on when you're ready to.
No,
to,
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Pop
go
in.
Ahead and finish. You know what?
Oh, no. I was done because really, I was actually talking basketball. And with the NBA Finals last night in Oklahoma City, their legs are one of the things I think are going to help them win this series. I said this was going to be a six-game series all along. He'd come back last night and get the win, which was expected. I expected the Heat to grab one of those games. Now it's three games in Miami. I expect to see OKC at least to get one of those games, if not two, depending upon how their mental capacity will be at that time. They're a young basketball team. They're a physically fit basketball team. And in game one, they made the Heat look old, but the experience last night helped them to get that win. So I was pretty much wrapping that whole thing up as it was
as we were getting started
this morning.
I was waiting. I was kicking it. I was like trying to find you on Facebook at like 7 in the morning. But when I don't see you around, I just figure we'll do it later or whatever. So that was stupid. But
I was writing an article and I didn't have my volume up, so I didn't hear you bleep on there. I've been sitting here since probably I've been sitting here probably since 7 o'clock writing a couple articles that putting up on examiner.com, so for the Dallas Cowboys and the Allen Wranglers. So
you can hear a beep even if you are acting like you're offline and your little green button isn't showing?
If my speakers are on and my Facebook is open and I get a message, it beeps. I don't know how I got that set. That's just the way I got it set. But I didn't have my speakers on.
I watched Texas against Arizona yesterday.
And?
I just really like watching Texas. You know, I enjoy watching their pitching staff most of all.
Even though it's Arizona and they're not really a great baseball team, you're not really... I look at Arizona right now and I wonder what their situation is going to be for the rest of the season.
I don't dislike Arizona. I like Arizona. I mean, last year they surprised everybody. They've had a couple injuries this year, you know, with some of their best players going down for a minute, and who knows what they'll end up like. I don't think they're pitching strong enough. But and you know what it is, dude? It was the announcers, the play-by-play guys. There's two of them, and I haven't even had time to look it up, but I think I just might. They were so good to listen to. One guy, he said that he played for the major leagues for 16 years, so he never said where he played or who he played for, but he said that he had a .308 batting average throughout that 16 years, and he had a certain amount of hits. He was talking about Ichiro and all the hits that Ichiro has had, like how he considers him like Pete Rose. Because, you know, did you know that Japanese players are obligated under contract to play in Japan 10 years before they are allowed to come to America?
Yes, I did.
Can you imagine how many hits Ichiro Suzuki has in his
life? Oh, yeah. I mean, forget what he's had in the major leagues. You got to add those 10 years that he put over there. You're absolutely right.
And so then they were saying, now, okay, I didn't even have a chance. I guess I could have done this, but I was going to look up the exact stats on this, but I definitely remember the players that they mentioned. Ichiro has, like, since he's been in the major leagues, he has the top number of hits, I believe. Derek Jeter's right behind him. He has the most hits in baseball. And there's another guy that they mentioned, and I was like, oh, Couch is going to really like that. Guess who it was? The third guy. The guy with the third most hits in baseball since Ichiro came up like 10 years ago.
Wow, third most hits. See, you're catching me really
completely
off guard.
He's on Texas. I'll give you that.
Oh, really? Is it Josh Hamilton? I mean...
You love Josh Hamilton. He's your answer to every question. I think you just figure if you always answer Josh Hamilton, you got to get like probably half the questions,
right? 70%
chance, right. it's Michael Young, our boy.
Oh, yes, Michael, yes. He's easy to forget because he hasn't been playing well, but you're right, though. He is my boy. I like me a little Michael Young, and that, I should have known that. You're right, because he's been in the league for so long, and he's played well for so long down here. And the fact that he's remained here is still an amazing thing. By the way, you probably were listening to Dave Barnett and Tom Grieve.
They were fun. They were like, they reminded me of listening to the Nationals announcers. They were just cool, like laid back. You know, they have some great, you know, I don't know if you've been to Arizona, the ballpark there to see the Diamondbacks.
I was there when they first, I lived in Arizona for 20 years. So
okay,
when they,
yeah, I forgot.
I spent a lot of time at Bank One Ballpark in Chase Field.
That Chase Field is so people-friendly, family-friendly, you know. And they're
absolutely
always doing stuff. They, you know, every time somebody hit a home run, it was $15,000 being donated to one of the charities. And, like, they would hit it in a certain area, then everybody can go to Taco Bell and get 3 free tacos, like, on a certain day of the week. And, you know, they were talking about the hot dogs that they have there and all the families. I mean, when I went there, I sat in an all-you-can-eat section, dude, and I had all the hot dogs and peanuts I could possibly suck down.
Yeah,
but
and when they first, here's an interesting thing about Bank One Ballpark. When they first opened for their first 8 years, they had $1 seats on the far end before it got to the bleachers sections.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they had $1 seats. Now, obviously, they don't do that anymore, but I'll tell you right now, I went to many a game for $1 and then, of course, moved And it literally had great seats to watch the Arizona Diamondbacks. I was at the Diamondback game. It just seemed like every other day, you know,
because it
was so close. Mm-hmm.
These like low profile ballparks, ball clubs, you know, they have. I think that the big name people should really learn from them. Everybody should be able to take their family to a baseball game, you know. And
mm-hmm.
those seats even aren't that bad. It's just the whole atmosphere of going to a baseball game, you know, and walking around and doing whatever. Anyway, what's up with Dusty Baker? Did you see his outrage yesterday?
I did see it, but this is not like the first time we've seen Dusty Baker.
Yeah,
lose his
dude,
mind.
But he's crossed new boundaries this time, dude. In my opinion.
Well,
I mean, I might
know,
be the only one
older,
that
as you
this.
Get older, you become less tolerant. So yes, it seems like any little thing will get out there. And Dusty Baker is no spring chicken at all.
I don't think he's overreacting to whatever has happened between them, but I think that by saying the things that he said at the end, it just got really personal after. It's like he's calling Derek Loach, saying that he was probably drunk and he probably didn't know what he was saying anyway, stuff like that. That's, you don't say that about, like, so you don't say, like, he cheated on his wife or something, you know. If you don't like somebody, you have to still be a little bit professional. You can tell him, like, to go screw off, but you can't be, like, telling the public that he's drunk in the clubhouse, you know.
Dusty Baker has always been one of those kind of coaches.
What are they even mad about? They must have had some drama going on. I don't know. That's just pretty. I like Dusty Baker because, you know, he's that kind of cat.
Yeah, he always will be. That's the kind of player or coach that he is. But you know, Dusty Baker, you know, he sees things that a lot of people don't see. And when he's capable of doing that kind of thing, you know, we're not always going to get the full story of what happens out on the baseball field because of his experience of what he can see and what we can't see. I mean, TV doesn't make it easy for us to spot things that other managers are able to do because of his experience factor of how long he'd been out on the field. So it might have been something obviously, well, not might have, it's obviously something we didn't see, but he caught on to something.
No. This happened, like, back when they worked together, dude, last year. They're fighting over an old brawl.
Say that again. I was coughing. I didn't want to cough in your ear.
It seems to me that they're fighting over an old issue, dude, when they were working together on the same team.
It could have been. Yeah, it could have been something that they held a grudge over the years.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
They pretty much admit it. But,
yeah,
so,
or the fact that he stole a certain thing that Dusty Baker used to do, and he's now doing it, and so maybe he took offense. There's just so many explanations that could be.
Yeah, and you know what? I find it quite funny when people just, like, you know, the Red Sox chaos this year with them going down and stuff, and nobody ever talks about the drama that occurs if you win. But trust me, there's drama in every clubhouse, just like there's drama on your fantasy team.
Well, speaking of fantasy teams, I mean, good Lord, if you had Matt Cain, which I did, feel pretty good about. How
lucky.
About that?
In a points league? Do you have him in a points league?
Do I have him in a what?
A points league.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Usually you'll get like a crap load of points for a perfect game. That's hard to get.
Yeah, I think it's like 10 extra points because of the perfect game. If I'm not mistaken.
I think the commissioner actually adds that one in, but still, dude, there's only been 22 ever. And
exactly.
Apparently,
so you deserve those extra points. And my goodness, and Kane, but this is that. Hey, Kane has been really, really good for the last three seasons in Major League Baseball.
I agree. Well, when they
he's easily overlooked because of who he plays for. Now, granted, they win the World Series, you know, a couple of years ago. But take away from that, he's kind of flew under the radar. He's not the Matt Holliday, you know, the big guys that everybody thinks of when you think of dominant pitchers. Although he is pretty much, he's getting there, but he's not that quote unquote dominant pitcher that you would think about that you would say, oh yeah, this guy's going to do it someday.
Well, they tried to say that he's had the worst run support in baseball since he's been a pitcher, and I'm like, look to the north of you at my poor buddy Felix upstairs. You know, he's got some pretty bad run support myself. But so the thing is, though, okay, did you see that? I like Matt Cain a lot, and he has had the worst run support in baseball, even worse than I'm pretty sure any San Diego pitcher or anything. He hasn't had a lot of run support, especially this year, but he is a good pitcher. I like him a lot. I just, you know, he's got a good composure about him. Did you see the catch, though, that Gregor Blanco made? Oh, no, you would know if you did.
I'm trying to think. I saw Castillo I think it was Castillo made the one hand nab last night, and that's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, dude, I could be totally psychotic and not know. I could just be making up names. I do it all the time. So, but it was a really great catch. It's probably going to be the number one on the plays of the week this week, and maybe even the plays of the month, dude. It was the most phenomenal catch I've seen in a long, long time. I thought it was Gregor Blanco, dude, but I don't have my notes in front of me. Anyway, I'm sure you'll see it on the you know.
Was it like a diving barehanded play?
Oh, my God, dude. It was to save Matt Cain's ass, dude.
I didn't necessarily see that. No. I thought, you know, Castillo made a pretty good play barehanded last night. So
oh, no,
that's
this wasn't
what
just
was
like a pretty good play, dude. Gregor, he decided that he was going to catch that ball no matter what it took. They did even a press conference. He was all up in it at the end. But wait till you see the catch. You're going to be like, holy moly, that's going to go down in history, dude, that catch. Especially because what he was doing is protecting a perfect game. And even the very last play of the game at first base was a good play. It was just like, you know, and apparently from what the guys on my wonderful Arizona play-by-play last night, we're saying that after Matt Cain had, you know, everybody's kind of, I don't know, up. I don't know if you've heard the disputes going on about the shaving cream and, like, putting it in guys' faces after they have a victory. People are, like, starting to put the kibosh to that. You know, go do it in the clubhouse is what they're saying. And, you know, I guess Pablo Sandoval was running out after Matt Cain. They caught him and they made him, like, they refused to let him go out there and put shaving cream all over Matt Cain after his perfect game because, you know, they felt like it was just a – there's a time and a place for that, I guess.
Yes. Oh, of course. You know, that's one of the reasons why baseball is so cool. By the way, just a question for you, just to hop off that subject. Were you watching the Arizona Diamondback feed or were you watching the Texas feed?
I'm pretty sure I was watching – wait a minute. I'm pretty sure I was watching –
because
I don't know,
Mark Grace is the color guy, and Mark Grace probably was the one who, you know, he had a pretty good career as far as his stats were concerned.
I remember them saying that they could get tacos, but you have to live in Arizona to get the taco.
Okay, so if that be the case, then that was probably Mark Grace that was on the call for that team.
I think I just assumed it was because they were at home last night.
Victor Rojas and and Mark Grace. Those are the guys for the Arizona Diamondback. Oh no, not that's the one from the. But
Texas.
It was. Let's see here. I'm trying to find out. I know. Oh, it was Darren Sutton's and Mark Grace. The Mark Grace has been the color commentator for the Arizona Diamondbacks for years and years and years. So.
Well, he's good. He's a nice cat. I liked him a lot because he gave a lot of good information. You know.
Oh yeah.
Listening to those announcers sometimes is just such. They don't think they're giving out a ton, but they really do. You know, they just talk and have conversations, but they do give out a lot of good information.
Well, you soak it up. You see, there's a difference between the casual listener and a person such as yourself. You soak up information. A lot of people, and I've learned this now when we've been doing the announcing for the Allen Wranglers, there's a different type of listener for each type of thing. Some people just want to hear what's going on as far as the actions on the field. And then there are these people such as yourself and myself as well. They like a lot of information thrown at you. Now, in the IFL football game, you can't throw a lot of information because it's always fast, it's always furious, there's always something going on. But
right.
In a baseball game,
there's plenty of time
for announcers to talk, and that's where Mark Grace comes in. That's really, really huge.
Yeah, you know, it is a very different world. I think that the people that do with it the reason that I'm interested in it is because I know these people that they're talking about. I think that if I didn't, I would probably have my ADD, like, on full blast, you know? But just knowing the players and being interested in the different players, and I always try to take heed to local radio, that's for sure. They could give you a lot more information about what's going on than most media.
Yes. Oh, there's no question about that, because those guys, well, most of those guys have been playing for years, and the ones who hadn't played and who were announcers had been announcing for years, so their experience is so huge, it's unbelievable.
Unless you're in New York, and then they just either cry or they make fun of the other teams. Complain.
Something
complaining
like that,
all
right?
The time.
Definitely.
But anyway, so what else? I have some, like, light at the end of the tunnel. I'm thinking that, you know, I've made a decision that there's a team that I'm on with my buddy Dr. Paul that listens to our show. He got me into this league, house league, that he's been a part of for a while, and they're very active in that league. And I don't think that I'm doing bad because I'm not active, but I look at my team and I'm like, this team is not horrible. This team is actually pretty good. In fact, there's guys on the waiver wire all the time in that league, and I'm not kidding around when I love the fact that you could just go pick a guy up when you need him, and then he's on your roster right then. I mean, there's no messing around. You got to drop the dude that you don't want anymore. I mean, it just can't get much better for me than that. So much less hassle, but Dr. Paul happens to be in first place, and I'm in last place. But, you know, as I said, I'm not going to give up because I got Matt Kemp, Pablo Sandoval just came off the DL. You know, I got Bonifacio on the DL. I have a lot of players that have been hurt. My pitching staff is pretty good. I think I have Gio Gonzalez and Wainwright and, you know, some pitchers that may or may not end the season well. So anyway, I decided that I wanted Mike Trout really bad.
Okay.
And
you want him really bad because of?
Well, at first it was just because I started looking at people's teams, and I knew that I needed some stolen bases. And I needed my batting average to be very good, like the best I could get out of a player, you know. And a guy
right.
that's going to hit, okay, well, see, I have too many third basemen right now. So
okay.
I have an extra third baseman, but it's not just a hoo-ha. I have Moustakas and Sandoval and another decent, you know, guy at the corner that I'm not getting rid of. I can't remember who at the moment, but Moustakas came up, and it's a keeper league. So I decided, you know, maybe he not only does he need a third baseman, but he needs a closer because he's got decent closers, but he's, you know, very close in the closer in the saved position. So
mm-hmm.
I figured, first I offered him Mike Moustakas, and then I think I got laughed at behind my back, but I didn't think it was that crazy until I actually looked at Trout's numbers in the last few weeks. I mean, this guy's come out of nowhere. He's freaking Jacoby Ellsbury is who he is, really. He's
well,
out of
is
control.
The question, though, is he one of these guys that will come out and play really well for like 2 or 3 weeks, or will he turn around and completely go the rest of the season by staying on task? And what I mean by staying on task is you get a lot of guys that can go out there. If you have to worry about a lot of split stats with this guy, how was he from the first to the second, from the first part of the season to the second part of the season, and things like that. Are you confident that he's going to be that kind of guy for you?
Well, I'm confident I don't think anybody can ever be confident in a player what they're going to do, but as confident as it gets for a young prospect, I've watched him in the Arizona Fall League for the last couple years. He's been touted to be this good. This isn't just, you know, coming out of nowhere. He's been consistent. I mean, this guy was, he was supposed to be good. He's supposed to be this guy.
Right.
I get more worried about how they're going to transition into the major league to begin with. This guy, he had to fight over his position, you know, pretty much because the Angels outfield is so crowded over there. And
yep.
they have Trumbo that they couldn't even put in the spot. So not only did he, like, come up and, I mean, he had some time up last year, but not enough to, like, not even enough to think of him, you know, as a Mike Stanton or anything. Brett Lowry, you know, he wasn't like those numbers. He just kind of came up quietly, and I really like him a lot. I really think that he's comparable to a Jacoby Ellsbury.
I like Jacoby Ellsbury, so if you're going to compare him to an Ellsbury, that might be that could be probably a good move for you. I want to see more out of him before I go that route, but at the same time, if you think he's got that one, that's not the worst thing in the world for him. So,
well, see, I couldn't figure out the other day if I was crazy, because after I got denied the Moustakas offer, I started looking at what Dr. Paul really needs, you know, and I'm like, okay, number one, he's got an empty spot on his roster where a relief pitcher goes who just went on the DL, so he needs a relief pitcher, plus he needs saves. I'm like, I'm offering him Moustakas again, and then I'm going to give him the best closer in baseball. As of right now, it's Chris Perez. He's got the most saves in baseball. So here I go. I offer Chris Perez with the most saves and then Mike Moustakas on top of that, which is another prospect that's not doing horrible, but by any means of the, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. And I think about it for a second, and I'm like, these are the trades that make you or break you, and don't question it, because, you know, I'm not going to win this year, okay? But I would like to add to my team somebody that is going to solidify maybe that I could win next year. And Dr. Paul can win this year. So if he actually, like, takes a real good look at this trade, it has a price. Don't you agree?
I think so. Well, yes, absolutely I do, because if you're too prone to pick up a guy that whether, especially in keeper leagues, if you get an offer of a young guy that you've had your eye on or something to where you think this guy's going to be, you know, really good come next year, and you can plug him in this year, if you're afraid to make that move, that's going to be a problem for you.
Well, guess what? How ironic that you say that, because the very next in my story here, the good part is all of a sudden Lenny calls me up and says, yeah, Dr. Paul wanted me to say thank you for giving him Trout. Dude, I'm the one that traded Trout to him because I was that guy that wasn't going to go for it and, like, trust him, you know? I was going to get rid of the prospect that may or may not ever be or pan out. And
absolutely.
I, to be honest, I'm too grossed out in my stomach right even now to even go look at who I traded for him. But I'm pretty sure, dude, knowing myself, that I got a decent player for him. I mean, a good player, you know, probably somebody that I can rely on pretty well to give me some numbers. But, okay, right now, here's, you know, I'm trying to give up the farm for a guy that I just traded and don't even remember. What? It was right before he started being what he is now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, and is this a keeper league?
Yeah, it's a keeper league. So you get to keep you can keep a certain amount of players, but you can only keep, like, one player that you got in the first round or two. So it's a pretty cool league. I like it a lot. Like I said, I like the fact that you could just go in there and get stuff done, really.
Definitely. I, how about Verlander last night? I mean, I don't know if the Tigers are going to be strong enough in their division to keep holding on to it, but, I mean, Verlander's crazy good.
He's crazy good, but it just seems like there's always drama, dude, about how long he's going to be able to take the mound and stuff like that. I didn't actually see the game. I haven't even really looked into what happened last night, but there was some drama, right?
From what I read as far as Verlander is concerned is that he pitched to Jim last night, but that's not any great big surprise. When Verlander's on the mound, you've got a pretty good chance that you're going to get a good performance from a guy like Verlander. If I'm not mistaken, I think he lost like two or three games like right in a row before this game, so because he's not getting the run support that he probably needed or wanted in order to get the wins that he's been out there. But no, I didn't see any as far as any drama that went through. I just know that he got a win, and it's, you know, after two or three games where he hasn't won.
Okay, well, here's, you know, I'm going to repeat the same thing I said when they decided that they were going to go out and spend $100 million on the first baseman, okay, when they already have the arguably one of the top two first basemen in baseball, okay? Number one, I don't think we can really give up on Detroit at this point, but don't you think it would have been a little wiser of Detroit to go out and pick up some solid pitching, because the rest of their rotation doesn't even compare to Verlander. They can't even walk up two steps behind Verlander. Okay, so I don't think that, you know, I don't think that they made the right decision by paying all that money to fielder because obviously I don't think that this team is done, dude. And, you know, Detroit has a way, and the White Sox have a way of losing their mind and getting all flustered. I mean, you know, how reliable are the White Sox in their own right?
Absolutely, but also you got to remember, Cleveland, although for the last 2 to 3 years hasn't been great, and you're talking about teams that had been playing very well, and, you know, they were 2 or 3 players away, and maybe they got them because, I mean, Cleveland is only a game and a half behind the Sox right now, actually, in this division, I actually picked Cleveland this year to win this division, but as far as what you were saying about Detroit, and you know, what they've decided was is they're going to go and get the runs that they need to get.
They didn't
and
need
then,
it.
Well, exactly. But at the same time, then with the pitchers that they got, they were hoping Fielder and the batting lineup would consistently give them 4 or 5 runs a game. And that's just not happening right now for them.
I don't know. I mean, I can totally understand that point. But I would never, ever try and make up for my lack of talent in the pitching rotation by getting more offense. I mean, because Detroit is known for, this isn't like the first, you know, and look, Cleveland is that guy. I would much rather have the Cleveland rotation, you know, after Verlander, of course, than Detroit's rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have stars, but they got a few really pretty decent scrubs.
Yeah, and those pretty decent scrubs. I mean, if you look at the team itself, I mean, they didn't build it. It was like absolutely the opposite. They were looking and going with young talent, and now they're getting hitting at the same time. Unlike the Detroit Tigers, which we're talking about, there's no question that management decided that they wanted to keep their guys that they had on there, although they weren't any good. They just needed more firepower. Hey, they're not that Texas Rangers, okay? The Texas Rangers can score, you know, can score 7-8 runs a game on a consistent basis.
As good as the
Tigers is and the good as Fielder is, they're not that consistent enough to bring those same type of numbers.
How about this, dude? All I got to say is Carlos Pena, dude, he was on sale at the same time. Guess how much he cost? $20 million. $10 million. Guess how much Fielder cost? $100 million. That's $80 million. Do you know how many pitchers you could buy for $80 million? Do you know how many?
Oh, yeah. I agree. I 100%, especially Lee. Especially Lee. I've never been a great big fan of Carlos Lee, really, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, I want him to be more in a fantasy ways. If you need him for certain stats and everything, then that would be fine. But as far
Carlos
as like
Pena, you're the first baseman, Carlos Pena, that plays for Tampa Bay.
I'm sorry, I went to Carlos Lee. My brain
freeze
there.
Pena, he's not, you know, he doesn't get that great of a batting average, but what the hell does Detroit care about a batting average? All they want is a guy that gets on base, and I'll tell you, his on-base percentage can compete in any fantasy league, and he will hit 25 home runs every year, and the guy costs $20 million versus $100 million, okay? And I just, you know, so what about the Nationals, though? I must move on to something wonderful and bright. What about Strasburg, dude? What about Strasburg coming to Boston, dude, and showing what's up? How about this? I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm wearing a Washington Nationals hat that day. I didn't even know the Red Sox were playing the Nationals that day. And
yes.
I just happened to put my Nationals hat on. And guess what? I totally, not even secretly, rooted for the Nationals the whole time. And I felt really bad when Big Poppy got up because I have a guinea pig named Little Poppy.
Uh-huh.
And whenever Big Poppy comes up, I say, "Go, Poppy," you know, and the guinea pig jumps around in his cage because he thinks I'm talking to him. Right?
Uh-huh. Of course.
And so now, all of a sudden, Big Poppy gets up, and I'm rooting for Strasburg. And I'm like, because all I wanted Strasburg to do, I don't know if you watched the game, but it was so intense. You know, he pitched the most pitches that he had in his career so far, which isn't that long, but it was over 100 pitches. And there was a time where it started to get real shaky for him. He had runners all over the bases, you know, one out. He started throwing balls in the dirt, and I'm telling him, you know, and he's in Fenway Park, and this guy, I go, this is what makes or breaks a guy. This is what turns a pitcher into a man. I mean,
absolutely.
What is he going to do right now? And he is such a kid. I mean, I got to say, at one point his pitching coach comes out and talks to him on the mound, and he's just looking at him with so much respect and so much value for what he has to say. I had to rewind it. I was like, look at this kid. He straight up just looks at his manager, and he's like, okay, Yeah, okay. Okay, and he's just solid as a rock. He took care of business. He had like 15 strikeouts, okay? He struck out every Red Sox dude there was. I mean, I don't know if that's actually a statistic or not, but in my head he did. And, I mean, just in the first couple innings, he had like 6 strikeouts in the first 4 innings.
And when you look at the Nationals, as much as I know you're a lover of them, I don't know if they're in a tough division with the Mets and Atlanta, and you know Philly, I think, has just fallen off the map. Unless they can figure out a way to do a major league, they're pretty much, you know, you almost can stick a fork in them. You know, they're 9 games behind.
They're the only team I'm worried about, to be honest with you. I'm not concerned about Florida because I think that Mike Stanton is going to have a huge accident, dude, and it's going to break that team. Okay, I don't think Josh Johnson is healthy. Atlanta, I like their pitching, dude, but they're another year away. Their pitching is too young and not good enough. Okay, the Mets, they don't have enough passion, dude, to win anything, okay? The Mets are barely getting their love back for baseball after what their last management company did to them, okay? But, okay, the Nationals, the only team I'm worried about is the Phillies because that's a team with experience, and that's a team that can, like Detroit, you don't want to just count them out because they have a way of contending every single year.
And you, I might be probably thinking wrong because you got to remember the Angels were 10.5 games back on Texas. Now they're only 3, and we're only talking a couple of months. So, they're going to have to do it and do it quick. If you're a Philly fan, I'll tell you that right now.
The Phillies. Well, here's the thing, though. Yeah, it's going to come to that. They're going to have come to a point where they're going to say, we got to either do it, we got to do it now. What do we need to do it? And they're going to probably come to the realization that there's just too much, that they can't fill all the holes that they have. I mean, they have players that have been coming in and you know, filling in some holes. But when you don't have Utley and Rollins and Howard, you know, if they're not contending, dude, I'm afraid that they're probably not even going to bring Howard back if they're not even contending. I mean, he's doing his exercises. I don't think if they needed him, I don't know what the deal is, but their pitching is not doing that good. Their hitting is very not good. They're 9 games back. I mean, I don't recall this ever happening, so I guess maybe it's just a culture shock. But the Nationals have won, like, their last 7 games, dude.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They're 8-2 in the last 10. They've won. They've won 6 in a row. But you know,
playing Boston. They swept them.
Well, I know, but right now, you know, Boston. I'm not a big believer in Boston right now. Although they are moving up in the standings, but at the same time.
It's more of an atmosphere. It's the intimidation factor of the American League East. It's like being in Yankee Stadium, dude, when you're, you know, a Seattle. I don't know. Seattle has no problem going there because they're American League. But the Nationals, dude, they go into a big ballpark like that, the Red Sox and the Yankee Stadium. It's intimidating for those kids. It has to be.
Well, it is definitely a tradition of greatness. I mean, even in Boston, I mean, although they went so many years before they won the World Series,
it's still a tradition.
It's the fan base. It's the tradition of what you get. Yeah, exactly. So it is. And if you're brought up in it and you're playing in it every day, so you get used to it. But, yeah, coming from a different league, coming from a team that normally doesn't play them, you know, that can be that intimidation factor could be there. You're right.
Yeah. So I honestly, dude, I'm totally admitting this to Red Sox Nation as we speak, dude. There's nothing like my love for the Nationals. I mean, right now, I'm not always going to be a fan of the Red Sox, but it is so, I don't know, it's just so refreshing to see a team like this, prove to me that there is a Santa Claus. Really? Because I like to believe in that stuff. I am a chick.
You're a chick to
kind
a certain
of.
Point, but you
I
also,
mean, have,
but you're not far gone when you know that you got to put someone to bed at the same time, and you can root for them, but you also know in your mind that it's going to be tough. But the Nationals have the Yankees today. You know they're starting that 3-game series tonight. In Washington, so
I can't wait.
That's gonna be a great 3-game series.
You know,
and if you don't get a chance to see that, you're just not a baseball fan. I think that's gonna be the best games of the weekend.
There's several like times in the baseball season where, and it usually comes later than this, so I'm not gonna try to claim this as one of them. It usually comes after the All-Star break, but it's when a team like plays either, you know, the team in their division that they're competing with head to head, and it's gonna make or break really the motive. You know, the mode. The what is it? It's not motivation, but it's like the role that you get on. You know, the what you're doing right now, it's going to mold you, and like it's just going to continue for the rest of the season. If they can sweep this other team and make them feel that low, then they got it. You know, kind of
mm-hmm.
like that. If the
yeah, and especially if they need them in the series. I mean, not saying that, you know, you could be looking at a preview of what we could see in the World Series if the Nationals can keep it up, and the Yankees are always in consideration for the World Series.
Well, how about this, dude? I think Toronto's going to go to the World Series, and they just played Toronto as well, okay? And you want to know, just go look at the stats on how they did against Toronto. If they could beat Toronto, dude, they're real. That's all I have to say. I mean, Toronto's the real deal. I don't care if their name is Toronto. They're the real deal, and they probably will win the American League East this year.
Well, and they got to, and if Philly, the Philadelphia has them this weekend in that series, too. That's another big
trouble.
Series this weekend. It is, so, but they are in Toronto playing those games. So that's going to be, you know, when you're looking at what you're saying about Toronto and your grad, I don't necessarily disagree with you. It's more the fact I think that Toronto will be there. I just don't think that they're going to win that division. I think they're for real. Don't get me wrong, but you got to look at the experience of the Yankees, and even at that point, look at the experience of the Red Sox.
Yeah, I was
they might
say.
You know that experience might be enough to beat them. And Tampa Bay, if they get on a roll. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Dude, you saw Tampa Bay last year, right? What happened? They were not
on.
I mean,
understand.
So it's exciting for me. You know, you'd think that I would be much happier with just the Yankees to contend with, but it's so nice to have competition and to see other teams, the fans of other teams, be
yes.
proud of something, you know? So I'm going to see Dr. Paul, actually. Oh, did I mention Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Philly? Are my stadiums of the summer. I'm starting on the 27th of July and going, no, I'm starting on the 20th of July, going to Philly, then Pittsburgh, then Cleveland.
Ah, Cleveland's not out. So are you driving or flying?
Yeah, driving. Cleveland's
yeah,
not that far out of the way.
Yeah, that's a good drive. That's a good drive, and you can actually hit games on the way there and on the way back.
Yeah, I already got it mapped out. So Pittsburgh, I've already been to, but I can't help but want to go back there. Every time
well, Three River Stadium is probably, I'll tell you right now, I've been to Three River Stadium.
Is that
I
Cleveland?
Love Three Rivers Stadium.
Is that Cleveland?
No, isn't that where the Pirates play?
No, that's PNC Park, right? That's a,
oh,
a
you know what? They changed. That's right. They moved out of Three Rivers.
Oh, dude, it's right. I don't know if it's in the same spot, but it's the most beautiful baseball park I've ever been to. And it's the feeling that you get when you're there is just calm and good. And then, you know, you can't complain about seeing a guy like Andrew McCutchen.
I love Andrew McCutchen.
Oh, dude. Yeah, how can you not? This guy is a guy. I mean, he's just amazing. He's Jacoby, too.
You know, it's kind of funny. I just looked up because last time I've been to Pittsburgh was probably in the mid-90s. And, of course, they closed up the stadium in 2003. Three Rivers was one of my favorite stadiums. There's two stadiums in the country I love as far as old. And one of them used to be the old Tiger Stadium. And then Three Rivers Stadium, another of my favorite stadiums.
Was it on the water when you were there?
Yes.
Downtown?
Yeah, well, if you want to call that downtown, they probably tore it down. I mean, it was 2000, so it was 12 years ago.
It's
I'm sure they don't have
downtown.
That thing
it's
stuff
actually like
there.
On it's on the other side of the river from the downtown part, but it's
right there.
There's a big
bridge
yes.
that it's near.
Oh,
yeah,
hell,
so
it's
that's
in the
where Three River Stadiums was. I don't know if it's next door, if they haven't torn it down or what.
They probably just tore it down and rebuilt it. I'm not positive, but it's the most beautiful background of a ballpark I've ever seen. I can't believe how clean Pittsburgh is. Like,
oh, yeah.
I just wonder, you know, they have the most farmers markets per in their city than any other big city in the country. And I only know that.
There you
I
go.
Mean, I'm a huge, I have guinea pigs, and they only eat produce, so, you know, farmers markets are good anyway, but it's clean. It, you just think of steel and, like, the Steelers. You think of kind of gray, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's
yep,
about
and
clean
at one point, the Steelers used to play in Three River Stadium as well.
It's, yeah, I like it there. So, I also hear that Cleveland's beautiful ballpark.
Haven't been there.
So that's kind of near the water, too. I've never been around this water. You know, it's like the Great Lakes up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I mean, if you get a chance, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the Cubs aren't very far from the water as well. So
I went to
I know
the Wrigley
last Field or Comiskey Park's more in town, but if I'm not mistaken, they're right off the lake over there for the Cubbies.
The Cubbies have Wrigleyville. They're right in the middle of a little suburb area, which is pretty cool. I like Chicago a lot. And then you go to the south side, and that's where the White Sox are. They're kind of like, that's kind of like the stadium you don't want to be in at night. I mean, it doesn't have, like, any restaurants around it. There's, like, nobody's walking around, dude. I mean, you're either in your car or you're, like, in the stadium. There's no friendly. But Wrigleyville is cute. It just, you know what, it costs more money to park your car there than it does for a ticket.
Well, that's funny you say that because we won Dallas Cowboys pregame tickets for the Cowboys and the Rams, and the parking is $50, and I'm like, well, we'll figure out something different. I mean, I'm not paying $50 to go park for 3 hours.
It's true.
It's ridiculous.
Even going to the Jets games, you know. They have a big parking lot, and they still charge $35 to park. So even, you know, somebody that wants to take their family, you know, that I recommend highly, that anybody should be doing if they can afford it. But, God, how can you expect anybody to be able to afford, you know, taking your family of four to a football game like that? I'm sure the Jets are probably a little more expensive than the normal city in the country, but they got to all be close, okay? It's $35-$50 to park. It's, you know, they don't have... Everybody's going to want to have a hot dog or something at the football game. A beer is like $15. I mean, I don't
think
soda.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Probably $10 for a soda.
That's why you got to get to the minor leagues, man. And I'll tell you, just with what we got around here, we got so many, you know, baseball, you know, football, all these minor leagues that you get the opportunity to go to. You get in for a $5 bill at a lot of these places, man.
For sure.
And you can enjoy yourself, and, you know, the concessions are always going to be expensive, but they are a lot cheaper than they are in the major leagues.
Oh, God,
as
dude.
Well.
Plus, you could get so close, dude. You know, here we have the Long Island Ducks and the Brooklyn Cyclones here. But, you know, my brother lives in New Mexico. We were talking about the Isotopes. They're the minor league team for the Dodgers. And it's funny because, you know, we tease about that. That's the only sport they have in New Mexico, really. So everybody, you know, it reminded me of Sacramento because Sacramento doesn't have, like, a major baseball team. They have, you know, San Francisco is near them, Oakland's near them, but they don't have their own. So they have, like, when you go to a minor league game there, people are, it's packed, you know. It's like, and that's what my brother says, you know, in New Mexico, that the Isotopes, that's what people, when they want to go see a game, that's where they go. So, but here, I mean, there's minor league affiliates everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being in Texas, I mean, they have the Grand Prairie Air Hogs out here. We also have the Frisco Rough Riders. They're all within 30 minutes, and you can go. And the Frisco Rough Riders got a great stadium, and there's not a bad seat in the house. I mean, the reality in these minor league, and you get, and if you got a guy on assignment from the major leagues. You want to see them?
Yeah.
You want to get there? You go. That's where you go. You
well,
go to the minors. You can get to see them.
Manny was over there at the Isotope last, or whenever he got suspended last. He was at, or coming back from whatever made up illness.
Nonsense that he does.
You know, but oh shoot, I forgot what I was going to say. See, that happens to me sometimes.
Manny Ramirez coming back.
I was going to ask you a question that. I was going to bring up Oswalt, and I just thought of him because, to be honest with you, I was going to ask you if he's pitched yet. I haven't noticed, and it must have not been too much news because I didn't
know. No. They're trying to get him back. Actually, they're trying to get him. He has not pitched yet, especially they took another hit and the starting rotation with one of their guys going.
Down.
Yeah, exactly.
My boy, the effective.
Yeah, Agando went down, and then Derek Holland, he's, you know, he's not back yet. They're taking some hits, so they're not winning a lot of games, but here's the thing, they're staying competitive, so,
dude,
you know.
They got minor leaguers, too, that they could bring up if they needed to. I'm not kidding. They have to. You know what? By the next show, I'm going to have their names and their stats for you.
As far as the minor leagues out of Texas.
Yeah, because, you know, I get Baseball America comes here and every month, and I read all of it. They talk a lot about the minor leagues, and, you know, I studied the minor leaguers because in some of my leagues we pick up minor leaguers, and
right.
Texas has just depth and pitching all around. I mean, they're, who was pitching last night that, not Derek Holland, but the other kid that came through last year in the World Series.
Colby Lewis?
No, not Colby, dude. I like Colby, but he's like one step down from Colby. He's like Derek Holland, but he's a little blonde kid that looks, you know, he had a mustache, I think. Or was that Derek Holland?
That was Holland. Holland shaved it, by the way. You were thinking of, I'll find out who it was.
Yeah, I could go inside and look at my computer.
I got it right
here.
I'm
sitting in the sun.
Anyway,
he's like their third or fourth starter. Their fourth starter. He's pretty good. But the kid just. Who? Scott Feldman
took the loss yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he pitched for Detroit for some reason. I'm out of my mind.
That's what happens. It's early. The early bird fantasy league.
Look at Scott Feldman, dude. I got to look him up now. I want to know where he played last year. He wasn't on the Texas Rangers, was he? He always was, wasn't he? Yeah, he was.
He's been a Texas guy. So
he's been a Rick Porcello, dude. That's why I compare him to Detroit because he's been I swear that's the honest truth. Because then I thought, no, that's Porcello on Detroit, but they're like. For some reason, I've associated those two in my head as the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness, this guy's been in the league for 10 years and done squat.
He'll get some wins for your fantasy team, dude, but he doesn't get anything else. He's not – he's okay.
Yes.
But I got to say, dude, going back to the Nationals here and my boys, I mean, okay, look at their pitching staff. I mean, arguably – they have one of the best rotations in baseball, dude. Their rotation is better than any big ball club.
You can't argue it, especially and like you were talking about. If you take a look at Strasburg, and it's funny we were talking about guys that shouldn't have played, you know, who shouldn't have come back. And I always think of Strasburg when I think of that. But
I know,
you can't question what the guy does. I mean, this guy, Strasburg is the deal. Strasburg is the guy, and they did the same thing when they went up and grabbed Bryce Harper. He is the guy. That talent doesn't come along every single day, you've got to grab up that talent when you got the opportunity to get it.
And the Nationals, I got to say, were very lucky. Like 3 years in a row, they got Storen, they got Strasburg, and they got Harper. I mean, they were that bad, but there's not always good players. I mean, this year in the Major League Player Draft, there wasn't a Strasburg, and it's actually pretty rare to come across a 3 years in a row where you have a Harper or a Strasburg, you know, as the guy that's ready to be drafted into the major leagues, and you just so happen to be the Nationals all 3 years, they got stellar players. I mean,
and they're also getting hitting too. I mean, my goodness, the team is hitting well.
I know,
and you know, if you kind of look at Washington, you know, for the seasons before, that was part of their problem. They weren't getting any run support, even if the pitching wasn't great anyway. But if they got some support, they would have been able. But you slowly saw what Washington has done in the last 3 years, and without question, they are doing exactly what they are doing. What any team should be doing. They're building from the bottom up, but of course they're an expansion team, but they're building from the bottom up, finding out who's going to be their guys. I mean, my goodness, if I'm not mistaken, LaRoche is even on this team, right?
He is on the team, and they have him on the team not because he's the best hitter in baseball, but they have him on the team because you know, he does what he does at first base, I guess.
Exactly.
But, you know, having a guy like Harper, these guys have always had, you know, Ian Desmond, dude, he's always,
yep.
I think that they were ready to trade his ass, you know, because he's not that great at his position, and he wasn't hitting his potential. And then, like, the dude at second base who's, like, the best fantasy pickup right now, because he's always been a potential 20 guy, you know, at second base that's always been overlooked, but his batting average has always been really bad. When you get a guy like Bryce Harper on your team and people are healthy, I mean, Jason Morris, not even there, you know, they got this guy to be the Bryce Harper, of what Bryce Harper's being right now, and you just get the motivation and it brings out talent. I mean, these guys have always had it. I think they're just confident at this point, and they have, you know, the pitching rotation has by far been one of the worst in Major League Baseball for the last, God, I mean, since the Nationals have become the Nationals. I mean, they've always had just their talent in pitching, but just over the last 3 years, like you said, they brought up, you know, some players. Jordan Zimmermann 2 years
ago.
Yeah,
I love Zimmermann. Third baseman, right? Third baseman. I'm thinking of the right guy, right?
Well, they have two. Ryan Zimmerman's a third baseman, but Jordan Zimmermann is their pitcher, dude. They're number two.
Oh, got it. Okay. Too many Zimmermans on one team. But I do love Ryan Zimmermann.
Jordan Zimmermann came up, dude, a year before Harper, or Strasburg, a year and a half, and he actually, the same exact thing happened to him, dude. He went down with Tommy John surgery, and people kind of forgot about him, and he's, I mean, come back to stellar. I'm so proud of him, and I could be so happy for them every day of my life.
Hey, could you imagine, and I'm just reading this, I didn't realize, Strasburg was taken out of the game because of a minor cut on his finger. I mean, could you imagine if he even would have stayed in that game the other night? How about 100 strikeouts, wins fifth straight? I mean, the guy is on a roll, and if anybody questioned what the guy could do, I don't think anybody ever questioned what he could do. I think they questioned how they were playing him, and I was one of them.
Well,
but
how about this? You can sit there, though, right now and tell me that you don't think that it was good for them to bring him up. But in the same breath, you also tell me that pretty much, not in these words, but pretty much tell me that he's the best pitcher in baseball. There's no doubt about it. He's the real deal. Now, if you had a guy like that down in the minor leagues that wasn't progressing, you don't just leave him down there, dude. They get no – how are they going to ever get better if they dominate, dude, every batter that walks up to the plate?
Well, there's a couple of players in the minor leagues that should be up there right now. And you were talking about the guy from the Cubbies. Did they ever bring him up? I forgot who
Rizzo.
You were talking about. Yes. Did they bring him up?
Not yet, but they will.
They're going to they need to. They need to get that guy some major
Cubbies,
league experience,
dude,
right now.
The Cubbies, I mean, if they were contending, I think that he would already be up. But it's like that. I don't know. Anthony Rizzo is a good addition to the team, but Theo's probably just livid right now, dude, at Starlin Castro and all that going on. Plus,
oh, yeah.
He knew going into that club that there's a reason you hire Theo, okay?
Yes.
Because he gets stuff done, and that's fine. I'll give him that. But
yeah,
I've got to
give him 3 years,
doing.
But I'm wondering if the Cubby fans and everybody who expect Theo to be the Theo, you remember Theo did not do this in 1 to 2 years up in Boston.
This doesn't happen overnight, but the Cubby
yes.
fans have been Cubby fans this long, dude. I highly doubt
they should be used
now.
To it by now.
They go there to drink beer anyway, dude. That's, you know, it's fun. It is a total beer drinking stadium.
Yeah, and if you get lucky to get to where you can bring your own chair and sit on top of one of the buildings on the other without actually going in, you get
those
a hell of a tan and drink beer for cheap.
Those are apartments, dude. And you know what else?
Yep.
I was kind of disappointed when I went to Wrigley Park because I got to say, you know, after all my years of listening and hearing Ozzy, dude, talk about how nasty it is there, I was almost like, I was in the bathrooms, like, looking around, you know, waiting for rats, something, dude, to show me that it was dirty there. Okay, no, everything's clean.
Yes.
It might be a little old, but come on, man. If you have a love for baseball, you got to love the fact that it's old. I mean, this is a stadium that has history, and it's not by any means falling down like Ozzy makes it out to be, like, the, you know, the dugout is like a men's bathroom, you know?
Ozzy did that because he was on the south side, and
he hated it there.
Yeah, exactly.
He talks about rats, and he talks about dirtiness. They don't have any, you know, their clubhouse is, like, far away, and he just, every time I saw him there, he just had this huge frown on his face. Maybe it was just the rivalry, but he made it sound like I was going to be expecting, you know, bugs and stuff, but I never got that.
Well, we blew through an hour here, and unfortunately I can't extend because I do have some errands to run today to get done, but we will be back bright and early then on Monday.
Today, yes, Monday it is. I'll see you then, dude.
All right, have a good weekend. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye. Bye.